love and grace. Welcome to this place of hope and perseverance. It is wonderful to see you all here on this morning. Good morning. I'm sorry that my back is to you. It's wonderful to see you all here on this morning of Pentecost as we come before the Lord, our God, our Maker, to celebrate the coming and presence of the Holy Spirit, to worship in reading scripture, joining in prayer, singing songs of worship and praise, and arriving together at the table, sharing in Holy Communion as one body in Christ. Before we have our call to worship, I will just highlight a few announcements that are listed in the bulletin. Although this first one actually didn't make it in the bulletin, but we, due to timing and things, but we extend our condolences to the family and friends of our Waldemar Peters, who passed away yesterday. The funeral service will be here on Saturday, June the 11th at 10 a.m., with the visitation just preceding the service. So that's next Saturday, the 11th. As you would have seen, the communion elements were available for you to pick up on your way into the sanctuary this morning. If you happen to miss it and are in need of those elements, feel free to just raise your hand or catch the attention of one of our ushers or our deacons, and they'll be able to get that to you. You will have noticed there's an announcement about our upcoming vacation Bible camp. It is fast approaching, July 18th to 22nd. I know it will be here before we know it. There are further details and information in your bulletin regarding registration and volunteer opportunities. We're really excited to get back to hosting our family barbecue this year, which traditionally takes place on the Friday of our vacation Bible camp week, as a way to celebrate with our friends and our family all the fun that we've had and all the truth that we've learned in the past week. And we have many willing volunteers to help out in various ways by means of doing the shopping for all the delicious food and barbecuing the delicious food. But we are in need of someone willing to manage all the details to make that come together. So if that is something that you think you would be interested in, by all means, get in contact with me. I would love to chat with you. We look forward to that week and that time that we get to spend with our children and our youth as we get to learn the truth about God. There's also some information listed about our upcoming church picnic. It's June 19th. We'll be meeting at Centennial Sports Park in Virgil, the same lovely place that we met last year. We'll get to meet there for our worship service. So we will ask that you mark your calendar for June 19th, and we look forward to seeing you there. And also note that next week there will be our German service at 9:15. And I do encourage you to take time to read through the week at a glance that's listed, if you haven't done so already, to see that all the fun and exciting things that happen in the life of the church the other 6 days of the week that we're not here gathered for worship. So take note of all the dates and times of all the things that you are involved in. Across the plains and the prairies, through canyons and valleys, over mountain peaks and through sunlit skies, God's Spirit is at work in the world, in our hearts, in our minds, and our hands and feet. God's Spirit is at work in us too. So let us worship God. Our call to worship this morning is from Psalm 104, verses 24 to 34. How many are your works, Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things both large and small. There the ships go to and fro, and Leviathan, which you formed to frolic there. All creatures look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to dust. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He who looks at the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke, I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. May the meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. Let's join together in prayer. Holy God, who comes to us in breath, you lead us throughout our lives by the power of your Spirit living in and through us. Ignite us with joy and wonder. Open our hearts and minds with new and clear vision and hope. Guide our feet deeper into your wisdom and truth. We thank you for the wonder that erupted on the day of Pentecost, the birth of the church. We give you thanks for the unique gifts you have given us, our opportunity to share those gifts and talents, and for all those whose lives have been forever changed by your power alive in our world. Give us the faith we need to rest on you and trust in your presence that is with us every moment of every day through Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. Amen. I'll invite the musicians now to lead us in song.
Good morning. Please stand and join with us to sing. And I'm just going to warn you, on our first PowerPoint window, at the very end it says, Alleluia, Alleluia, and then we're going to have a little pause because that's how it's written in the music and we don't see the music in front of us. So I just wanted to remind you.
Good morning. I will be reading from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit enabled them. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all who have lived in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what is spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in these days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
We'll remain seated for this.
Thank you. On the day of Pentecost, the result of the Holy Spirit descending upon the followers of Jesus was their ability of uneducated Galileans speaking in multiple languages of foreign visitors who had come to worship God. The gospel stories of Jesus and the New Testament, the letters to the churches, were all written in the Greek language, which was the common language of that day. And so these days I reflect on how the English language has become a common language worldwide. What was told on Pentecost were the wonders of what God was doing because of Jesus. And so today we have unparalleled opportunities to share God's love, forgiveness, and grace. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. God of grace and mercy, while there's much of the world that is in turmoil with violence and strife, we have amazing opportunities to share the light of hope because of the ability of Jesus Christ to change hearts and minds with forgiveness and peace. We pray, come, gracious God, and send your Holy Spirit upon us again. Give us courage and grace to share of your love and compassion so that others may also have hope for this life and life evermore. We come to worship this morning in recognition of the sending of your Holy Spirit upon the church and upon us. We share this morning in the renewal of our baptismal vows. We share the cup and the bread of your body and blood, broken and spilled for the forgiveness of our sins and to unite us together as your people of faith. Gracious God, you know the needs of our congregation and the requests that we hold before you for leadership of the future of your church. We ask that you send us a person who may be gracious and kind, compassionate for your love and care through Jesus Christ. These days we continue to lament the violence in Ukraine. And in the midst of that, we ask for your forgiveness in our tendency towards anger that leads to violence. May you transform hearts and minds of those who give leadership to nations, to those who find themselves in conflict, to find ways of peace and hope for all. These days, we continue to hold before you for healing and strength for those among us. And so we pray for Herb, Ike, Peter, Helen, and others in our midst, looking to you for their renewed strength and healing. We pray with thanksgiving for the long life of faith through Waldemar Peters, who is now able to see once again in the joy of your heaven's glory. Be with his family as they recall his love and care through many years, and may you bless them with your peace. We pray for our provincial leaders as they reassemble a new government. We ask for their wisdom as they govern with care for all of people, and to provide for future generations that they may have a place to live. In all of these things, O God, we also pray your continuing wisdom and energy with Paul as he shares from your word this morning. May you speak to us by your Spirit yet again to equip us for the mission and ministry to which you have called us in our community and to the wider world. For all of these things, we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're gonna worship Christ the King. We're gonna worship Christ the King. We're gonna worship Christ the King and crown him the Lord of everything.
We're gonna worship Christ the King. We're gonna worship Christ the King. Now we're gonna worship Christ the King and crown him the Lord of everything. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up your everlasting doors. Lift up your heads and say amen. The King of the glory will come in.
Now bring all your offerings to the King.
Bring all your offerings to the King. Bring all your offerings to the King. And pray he will bless the gifts we bring. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up your everlasting doors. Lift up your heads and say amen. The King of the glory will come in. The King of the glory will come in.
This preacher needs you to stand up, lift up your arms if you don't have carpal tunnel syndrome or a frozen shoulder, and say amen.
Amen.
Sit down. Now I know, Elvin, why that had to precede the sermon. Very good. Very good. This service, like many of our worship services, was not thrown together. There was some serious thought, not only through the scripture readings, but as our worship leader, Taya, prepared us for the call to worship. May I also say that the selection, I'm convinced that once Trudy read the call to worship, she said, we got to do that Brian Dirksen video. Isn't that right? Oh, I know you too. The congregation knows you too well. May I suggest that even the selection of the songs moving from creation to the focus on the Holy Spirit, that song that you sang, choir, Holy Spirit, come with power. And the lyrics say, fill your congregation. I'm sorry. But I kept singing, fill this congregation with the Spirit's power, that we might have that fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit collectively as a congregation. And there is a sense, as I was anticipating preaching this morning, that the service from the beginning lyrics of Brian Dirksen's video, the images of creation through the songs that have been selected, and the wonderful lyrics of the praise and worship choir, we have been focused on Pentecost Sunday, that this service is moving from a call to worship our triune God of creation to focus on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But there is a growing, if I was to use a musical analogy, a crescendo. And this little meditation this morning is but preparing us. As a community of faith, we gather and we celebrate a communal, the Lord's Supper. So we do that with great care. One of the congregations that I like to watch on YouTube, when Candy and I are visiting down south, we watched this particular church video throughout the year. And on Pentecost Sunday, during the week, they send out a little blurb to the members of the congregation and those that are far away. And the color within the liturgical calendar for Pentecost Sunday is red. And so the pastor down there says, if you got a red blouse or a red dress or a red shirt, wear it, or a red tie, wear it. And I'm convinced that when I watch that video this afternoon, the congregation will be speckled with members of the church wearing red. So I asked my dear wife, I said, Candy, can I wear my red shirt today? And she said, Paul, she said, you can wear it three Sundays. Christmas, Valentine, and Pentecost Sunday. But this morning, for a few moments, I simply want to address just warming our hearts, continuing to warm our hearts, getting us ready for that communal experience, that communion. Moving from inadequacy, and how we encounter sufficiency. A sense of our own inadequacy sometimes is a gift. To recognize that we have a need. That may be the first step to seeing that need met. When we recognize that we don't have it all together. Reaching our own point where we accept that there's an inability, there's an insufficiency. It may seem like a negative thing to acknowledge it, but it may in fact prove to be quite the opposite. I believe that is how this little band of Jesus followers felt, knowing that their Lord had given them a grand task to be witnesses. And they were to stay in Jerusalem until they received power. They were to be witnesses in Jerusalem to the surrounding provinces and to the uttermost parts of the world. Our society and our culture wants us to portray that we have it together. We can accomplish our goals. We know exactly what it takes, and by goodness, we have it. The truth is, most of us simply don't live there. Oh, we may put on a facade in order to appear confident and assertive, but if the truth were known, many times we feel just the opposite. We feel very inadequate. Popular culture says, don't let them see you sweat. Don't let them see you shake. Don't let them see your probable inabilities. In reality, we do sweat. In reality, things are tough. And in reality, sharing perhaps as witnesses of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ doesn't come because of natural abilities that we have in that regards to communicate. Imagine how the apostles felt in the days before Pentecost. They were following one of the most exciting teachers in history. These followers of Jesus, they were ultimate groupies. Daily they were seeing and hearing and witnessing Jesus performing amazing events. Some saw Jesus as the one to lead the children of Israel from their oppressors. And they thought, this Jesus is the zealot who's going to lead us. They were listening to the most meaningful teacher in human history. It was indeed a time for high adventure for these disciples. But they had recently experienced his crucifixion. We understand that. What a sense of despair and defeat that must have been. But he had risen from the dead. And he appeared to them. What an exhilarating experience that had been. But now he had left them. He had challenged them with what we know as the Great Commission. To be his witnesses, to the world. This powerful figure around them, who they had built their lives around Jesus. But now what? I'm sure they must have questions such as, what would it be like now? Who among them would ever fill the shoes, the sandals of Jesus? Was it over? Were we simply going to return to our former walks of life? This sense of emptiness is shared by many today. Many Christians feel empty. Many Christians today feel inadequate. There is something missing in their lives, something they can't quite put their finger on, but they recognize there's a real need. They feel the need for power in their own personal lives. They feel the need for a sense of adequacy. And when we consider the apostles, because it is Peter who had failed, Peter who had denied, Peter who had left the outer courtyard and went out to the garden and wept bitter tears of repentance and regret, probably at the point of despair, that when his Lord needed him the most, Peter had deserted his Lord. And he went out and he wept bitterly, we are told. So facing our inadequacies, we'll return to Peter in a minute. Facing your fears, we hear it being said. It doesn't sound like an exciting thing to do, does it? To face our fears. Peter, what a wonderful picture we have in the Holy Scriptures of Peter. It's a very composite picture, the before and the after on the day of Pentecost. And his subsequent work as the leader of the Christian church. And his own missionary adventures. Peter, a wonderful guy, a regular guy, an appealing character. But he was an ordinary guy. There was nothing extraordinary about his life. He was a working person, just like most of us have been or currently are. Every day they went to work. Every day they faced the pressures of the marketplace. He wasn't overly educated. He didn't belong to the elite social class. He wasn't part of the 1%. He was just like us. When Jesus called him, he responded. He didn't really know what he was to do, but he followed. He wasn't aware of all the implications of following Jesus, but he followed. But then he deserted Jesus. He denied knowing the man, as the text tells us. Peter had to come face to face with his own inadequacy, just as we must. This was going to be an essential for his future spiritual growth. We know the story well in the Gospel of Matthew and also in the Gospel of Mark, how Peter denied his Lord. Some scholars have speculated that Peter withdrew to that place where Jesus often went to pray. That Peter, after he failed his Lord and denied his Lord before the servant girl, some scholars believe that Peter went to that familiar place where he knew that Jesus had gone to pray so often in the Garden of Gethsemane or near the Mount of Olives where Christ ascended from their midst, a familiar place. Peter was headstrong and he thought he would never deny his Lord, but he did. You see, Peter had come face to face with the reality of his own inadequacy. The irony was that he truly did not want to deny his Lord. Yet as Jesus had said only a few brief hours earlier, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Mark chapter 14, verse 34. 38. He did not want to deny his Lord, yet he said, "Oh God, how could I have done such a thing? I said I would never deny you, and I have done the very thing I said I would never do. What's the matter with me? Oh God, I'm a failure." Have you ever felt that way? I'm sure you have. It's common to all of us in our jobs, in our homes, maybe even in our church life, to face our own inadequacies. Someone has said, God only fills empty vessels. You probably have heard the expression, God uses cracked pots. That's how the light gets in. How we need that. There is a real sense in which that is true. What we may need is to come to a place of emptying of our own lives, experiencing our own inadequacies, that we might be filled. So we begin by facing our inadequacies. We move on to encountering sufficiency. We read from our text, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages or tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Only by facing our inadequacies will we come to a place of encountering the sufficiency that is found in our triune God. That is what Pentecost was all about. Pentecost was an encounter with God. This is its real significance. Be careful not to miss that in the details of the day. The real significance of Pentecost is not the rushing, violent, mighty wind. It's not the visible tongues of fire, or even the fact that they spoke in many other languages. The real significance of Pentecost was an encounter with God. God moved in. By His Spirit, God took over. They were filled with God's Spirit and clothed with power. Pentecost means that God is in charge, and that God moves upon these poor souls who were overwhelmed with a sense of their inadequacy and empowered them, changed them, transformed them. They truly were born from the inside out, born again by the Spirit of God. And what happened at Pentecost? It was a transforming event. Like the caterpillar that spins its cocoon, and while there's inner work taking place and transformation taking place within that cocoon, so the disciples were waiting on God. And God did the unseen work in their hearts to prepare them for that day. Peter could only have imagined, how am I and my brothers and sisters who are followers of Jesus the way, how are we ever going to be His witnesses? Then as the caterpillar emerges, something wonderful has happened. It's no longer a caterpillar, but it's a beautiful butterfly. His life has been changed. He has been transformed. And on the day of Pentecost, friends, God came down in power and changed the lives, not only of those disciples, but of the multitudes who heard the message that the Apostle Peter delivered. Indeed, as many would say, it is the birthday of the Christian church. Like the butterfly, they would never be the same again. They didn't even act the same. They were intoxicated by the Spirit of God. They were doing strange things. They weren't acting like normal people. Some accused them of being drunk. And they were drunk, but they were drunk in the filling of the Holy Spirit in their lives. They were overwhelmed because God had taken over. That's precisely what we need today in the Church of Jesus Christ. The preacher pauses for an amen. Amen. That is what the church needs today. An encounter with the sufficiency that God provides by His Holy Spirit. They had been emptied of their own sense of adequacy, only to be filled with God's abundant adequacy. It finally had clicked, and it made sense now. They understood how to live above the level of their inadequacies. They must learn to depend upon His adequacy for their life. We need our own personal Pentecost. Yes, we do. We need to encounter God. Yes, we do. We will find the power to live our lives. I love the teaching, the writing of the Apostle Paul as he writes in Ephesians 5 and verse 18. Let us keep on being filled with the Spirit of God. As I look out amongst the audience this morning, I wonder how many here many years ago were baptized on Pentecost Sunday. I'm not asking how many were baptized. I believe as believers in Jesus Christ, we submit to and we are baptized. Just curious, on Pentecost Sunday, I led many, and I'm sure Pastor Randy has as well, Pentecost Sunday services. Where a part of the Pentecost Sunday service often was the ordinance of believers' baptism. Do you dare raise one hand, not both hands? How many of you were baptized on Pentecost Sunday? Look around. Look around. Look around. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It was a pivotal event. Often family and friends came to witness that event. Gatherings were taking place after the service. Everybody looked forward. Perhaps you, in a very nervous way, you were asked to give a word of witness, a word of testimony that you were truly a follower. You went through catechism class. You understood what it was that you were doing and what you believed and what you were committing to as a follower of Jesus Christ. And so, believer's baptism. Do you remember the vows that you made when you were baptized? Well, we moved quickly beyond facing our inadequacies, encountering God's sufficiency, to living dynamically. Facing our inadequacies not only brings us to a place of encountering His sufficiency, but both taken together produces an ability to live. To live as God's chosen children, filled with the Spirit of God, committed to the work of the Great Commission of being witnesses in our society, with the culture that we find ourselves in the context where you personally are living. You see, something has changed, believer. And we are being reminded of that this morning on this Pentecost Sunday. So many thousands came to believe following the powerful, Spirit-filled preaching of the Apostle Peter that day. Peter appeared different because he is different. Indeed, something has happened to this man. He's not now speaking on his own halting inabilities. He's preaching under the power and the infusion of the Spirit of God in his life. Peter's cowardice had been turned into confidence, but his confidence now was not in self, but it was in God. He began to understand what Paul would write, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4, verse 13. And this was a result of encountering the very presence of God. In Acts chapter 4, later on, Peter and John are before the religious leaders, and it is said of them in verse 13. Here's the commentary of the culture, of the society in which Peter and John lived. The leaders who heard Peter and John and saw what was happening in this Christian movement, the response was, when they saw the courage of Peter and John, and realized that they were unschooled,
ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. And they were filled with the Spirit of God. Encountering the presence of Jesus Christ in our lives touches us, changes us, gives to us the empowerment we need to live. It is a church made up of ordinary people living extraordinary lives by the power of the Spirit. Do you need the reassurance that God will take your own perceptions of inabilities, inadequacies? Do you believe that God, by His Spirit, is able to transform you even today to be and do what God's calling is on your life? To sing with the choir. Oh, but Paul, I don't have a voice. A Spirit-filled voice is the only requirement. Amen, Alvin? A Spirit-filled voice is the only requirement. Perhaps as you are being filled by the Spirit, you are being called to support children and youth ministries. You say, oh, but I'm so inadequate. I'm not good with children. I'm not good with youth. Taya, is the only requirement for working with children and youth a Spirit-filled life? It is indeed. To be a vocal encourager and an active participant in the life of this community, the requirement is for encouragers who are Spirit-filled. And all God's people said, amen. To live in the Spirit's power in our society, in our church, we need Christians who are Spirit-filled. And again, I ask, amen? May God be pleased to make it so in my life. Amen.
I had to smile when you said, don't let them see you sweat. Don't show your probable inadequacies, or as I like to say, fake it till you make it. This morning we did not have time to practice singing, which makes my heart race incredibly fast. So I fake it till I make it. But I pray that God will help me and fill me and calm me down and help me to lead, and He does. The Holy Spirit does that for me. Could we stand together and sing, Holy Spirit, no, God fill me now, sorry.
Paul, thank you for that message. For some reason this morning, I was prompted to wear my red tie. I have to say, though, my baptism was not at Pentecost. It was closer to Valentine's Day, so how's that? It was in the month of February, and I'm just reflecting on that a bit this morning. As you entered, deacons invited you to partake by picking up the communion elements. And for those who are not familiar, just a reminder, there's two little tabs on the cup. The one is hard to see. It's cellophane, so it's clear. That will give you access to the wafer. The foil tab behind it will give you access to the juice. If you pull the juice tab thinking you're getting the wafer, it might create a bit of a mess. So yeah, be careful. If you need, ask someone else to give you a hand with that. In preparation for our sharing of the bread and the cup, invite you to consider the meaning of baptism. On this day of Pentecost, we recall the first disciples gathering. God sent the Holy Spirit upon them as a rush of wind, enabling them to speak the gospel of Jesus in various languages. God's purpose was to invite repentance of sin in the name of Jesus, for everyone to receive God's forgiveness and new life in Christ, and to share in the blessed experience of baptism with water. And from the practice of the early church, sharing baptism is the symbol of the ritual of cleansing from sin, the pouring out of God's Spirit, and entry into the community of faith with Christ. And today, inviting you to renew your vows of baptism if that has been your experience. To recall your public confession of faith in Jesus, your testimony of trust in God who provides, and commitment to share with God's people in the church, in worship, and in service. Personally, I recall that pivotal time in my life as an emerging adult, having been mentored in the faith by family and community of the church, growing through my personal reading of Scripture, the teachings of other faithful Christians. And from that time in my life, there were changes in my behavior, changes in my relationships as I learned to trust and rely on God. The Spirit of God placed on my heart the desire to learn to know more about Jesus, which eventually evolved to my hearing the call to ministry as a pastor. Receiving baptism was a conscious decision to follow Jesus, who has since made all the difference in my life. God has guided and guarded my life through the careful reading of His Word, through my conversations with God in prayer, through the counsel of spiritual companions and the commitment of doing His will. Not always perfect, but striving for life with Jesus on the road. I thank God for the prompting of the Holy Spirit to receive baptism upon confession of faith. And as the table of the Lord is set before us, I ask you to turn in your bulletins to the litany that is printed opposite of the worship service, and to share in this reading if it is your desire to renew your vow of baptism today. The litany will also be on the screen in case you don't have the bulletin at hand. And we share this in preparation to receive the bread and the cup of communion, affirming our faith in Jesus. I invite you to share in the litany. We have come for worship of God through Jesus Christ, and can share in communion with the body of Christ, this church community at St. Catherine's United Mennonite. In doing so, I recall my own commitment to Jesus and renew the vow of baptism I have made previously, to share in the life of God's church, to bear one another's burdens, to share mutually in the forgiving or the retaining of our sins, to share in the abundance of this world's goods, to assist each other in times of need, to share our joys and sorrows, and in all things to work for the common good, thus making real God's presence among us to His glory. As we recommit our unity with each other, may we all be joined with Christ our Lord until He comes again. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it is right to remind ourselves of the meaning also of the Lord's Supper, the remembrance of the sacrifice of Jesus for the sin of the world, for our sins. For the Lord's Supper is the encounter with the risen Lord, remembering His teachings of faith, a commitment of communion with baptized believers, and reclaiming for us, we are His body, the Church. The Lord's Supper is also the anticipation of the day when Jesus will come again. And it is the Lord's table, and all who belong to Jesus are invited. Therefore, let us come to the table in faith and anticipation of Jesus coming for us. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. Gracious God, through your Son Jesus, we hear the words of commissioning to receive baptism of the Holy Spirit, to be baptized in faith, to teach others what you have commanded. And while the task is daunting, we hear again your promise to be with us until the end of the age. And so we join our hearts and voices to pray as Jesus taught us, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I invite you to take the elements and to remove the cellophane. Jesus said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let us partake of the bread. Jesus also shared with his disciples the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. Let us partake of the cup together. Thank you for coming and worshiping with us today. Just a reminder, the element bag, this. There are disposable containers as you exit, and you can leave those there or take them with you. Also, just a note, the deacons and I will be going to the Vineland United Mennonite home this afternoon and sharing service of communion. There will be a few others sharing in some music there. And so we remember other folks in our community who are not able to be with us this morning. As you leave from this time of worship, go with confidence that God has shared with you the gift of eternal life. Continue to walk closely with Jesus, who promised to be with you in this life and for eternity. Go in peace. Amen.